28. Practical experience with poison. They decided on Malk's spear versus the Spant's bullnutter. You can choose a smaller weapon than whatever the challenged party picks, but not a larger. And I truly wondered who would prevail. Coldfoot guards could whip those spears around with blinding speed, now battering with the butt, now sweeping out the legs, now stabbing through the liver. He was larger and stronger in the arm as well, but against an Espanthian birder, schooled from girlhood in the art of Kalar Bajat. The earliest the duel could be set was tomorrow at dawn, this rule in the charter so combatants would have time to reconsider their profound stupidity, and I was certain none of us would sleep, except maybe Galva. I was right. Several of the friendlier crew came up to Galva as she drank on the deck, watching the moon. Some wished her luck. Some confessed their dislike for Malk. The Espanthian with the badger pelt even sang with her, a song to Dalgatha, the skinny woman, the mistress of death. Then he joined her in toasts to the health of the Infanta Maria, and, upon reflection, I'm sure it was this treacherous bastard that poisoned her. Our Spanth soon came down to Jain Narigal and me, holding her head in her palms. "Your head hurt?" I asked her. She shrugged, which is Galvese for "yes, a lot." I should have been watching her, not only for her own sake, but because my life, and probably Narigal's, depended on her. I knew what had happened immediately, but finding out what was in her and how to help her was another matter. Narigal had no shortage of potions and herbs, but little practical experience with poison. I sat Galva on the floor, myself on one side of her, Narigal on the other, opening her case to see if there was something to help the Spanth. Bully sat himself near, past both of them where only I could see him, and tried to look nonchalant while he licked his paw. Narigal made Galva tell us exactly what she was feeling, which was head-split and drowsy, and I made her tell me who'd been near her. The poison hadn't been in her long and didn't seem to be one of the stronger sort, which was to our advantage. "Do you think we should make her vomit?" I asked Narigal. "How the devil should I know?" she said. Past her, the cat nodded. "Let's make her vomit," I said. With the help of an evil-smelling herb Narigal made Galva chew, we got her to sick up in one of the seasick buckets left from our miserable first days on the water. The whiny, tart smell of it filled the closed space, and now Galva swooned and slumped death-like into Narigal's arms. "Shite, she's dying. Is she dying?" I said. "I don't know," Narigal said, fishing wide-eyed in her potion box. The cat shook his head as in, "She's not dying. Probably we'd got enough of it out of her." "What then?" The cat put his paws together on the floor, yawned, and put his head on them. "I think she's just sleeping," I said. "I wonder how long." "Till you're dead, like as not. That's surely the idea." The cat scratched his neck. I stared at the cat, not getting it. Narigal turned to see what I was looking at, and the cat looked in the other direction. "What's so interesting about the cat with your friend full of poison?" "Nothing," I said. The cat moved a little closer and scratched his neck again, this time Egypt slow, so I realized he was counting. 12.
12 what?
Hours? The cat nodded hard. "Hours," I said. "She'll sleep 12 hours. I heard of this poison. What's it called?" I looked at the cat, but he just stared at me like, what am I supposed to do, spell it? Narigal laid the Spanth down, giving her a wool wrap for a pillow. The cat wandered over, sniffed Narigal's case, then rested his paw on a vial of milky white liquid. He pulled it away fast when she looked back at him. "Cat," she said, "get out of that." She shooed him away and he hissed at her. I'd never seen him hiss, then retreated. He padded farther off and sat with his back to us, a perfectly cat-like gesture. "Try this one," I said, picking up the vial he'd indicated. "Moonweed, you sure? That's for lady pains." "Good, give her a lot." She did, then wiped the corner of Galva's mouth with her skirt. "Will it wake her?" she said. Bully shook his head, still facing away. "No. What'll it do?" The cat licked himself intimately. "Make her feel better." "But it won't wake her up." "No."
"What'll you do then?"
Bully lay down with his paws up in a death-like posture. "Exactly what the gods want. I'll be well and truly fucked." The Spanth mumbled, "Chodadu," in her half-sleep, and then snored.
It surely looks that way, Nargal said. An hour later, Malk came down the steps to the hold with a small mob behind him and formally challenged me. He didn't want to miss his chance. He thought I'd choose Dagger, but I chose to face him with both of us stripped to the waist and unarmed. Truly, he said. Truly. That's surprising, he said, a little fella like you. You know we're not just boxing. You know it's to the death, right? The Aspanthian badger stood among the small, gloating crowd behind Malk. The Spanth oarsman who'd sung with Galva about Dalgatha, the one who'd surely poisoned her. It shouldn't be surprising, I said. A dagger fight would be over too quickly. This way I can bugger you too. He nodded. That's it, then. Enjoy your profanities. You haven't many left. He turned away. Then he turned back, the way very angry people do when they think of one more awful thing to say, or one more bit of harm they might do. Before Bully could react, Malk grabbed the cat by the neck and went upstairs. The cat started to cough, but it had taken a few coughs to get the assassin out of him under my bed, and I didn't think she'd be able to get free in time. I went to follow Malk, grabbing Palthra, but a dozen men drew their swords and deck axes and waited for me, many of them smiling. They were hoping I'd do it. Nargal grabbed my arm. Let him go, kids, it's just a cat. No, I said, it isn't. But I stopped pulling. I had only been half pulling anyway. It was hopeless. The bastards went upstairs. A cheer came from the top of the ship. Swim, swim, they started to chant. I lay down and stared at the boards of the hold ceiling, trying to focus on this or that nail. Sorry a ship's hold was to be my last home, though I could have done worse for company. Nargal took my hand and held it as more laughter came from the deck and someone started playing a drum and hornpipe. Shite, you're ugly, I said, meaning the opposite. Yeah, she said, you too. Then she kissed me.